Shauger, Oilers Nation has many reasons to be excited. Not only, you know, James Neal off to an unreal start, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Cassian go down the list, but the Oilers as a team in their own zone significantly improved last night against a really good forechecking Islanders team.
Yeah, that was a really good – I mean, the defense held. That's the thing. I mean, Adam Larson's been missing for a couple of games now, and they're running out youngster in Ethan Bear and a real inexperienced guy in Joel Pearson, and they haven't really skipped a beat. Like, that right side on D is holding. So that's a really positive sign. And in their own end, yep, that was – they dialed it in for sure. They buckled down. It wasn't a really tough night for Mikko Koskinen, was it?
No, not at all. And you know, I thought Koskinen, when it needed to be, made the saves, and that's all. That's all you want from your goaltender. It makes any goalie's job easier. Kevin Woodley tells us all the time. You know, and usually he says like the Islanders have a pretty good goalie system, but whatever it is, Semyon Varlamov, like, he loathes playing the Oilers because he has awful numbers against them.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And you know, that's the thing, like. You go out on the road and you got a couple of wins under your belt, and you go into a building, and that would be a classic, you know, that would be on the road, you know, that's your first loss against a team that plays the way they do. But there's something about the work ethic of this team this year. They're really grinding their way through games, and they're really kind of next line up. They've got a real nice early quality here about them that I think is serving them really well, and it'll be interesting to see if they can keep that up, because it's not like they're not making mistakes. They are, but they're outworking a lot of the mistakes that they're making right now. That's a really good early sign.
Alex Chiasson might feel a little bit like Wally Pipp right now. He got the flu, and I don't think there's any chance he's getting a spot back on the number one power play unit anytime soon.
No, you can't. I mean, you know, you don't like to lose your spot in the lineup due to injury, but when somebody steps in and takes advantage of the opportunity and makes a difference between winning and losing night in, night out, you don't expect, if you're Alex Chiasson, to step back in and get it all handed back. Yeah, I don't think. Look, Neil is doing something, you know, pretty unreal right now. Good for him. Keep putting him in that spot to keep doing it and give him every opportunity and ride the wave of confidence. So when Chiasson's healthy, he'll be back in.
Yep.
But obviously it's not necessarily going to be in that exact same spot.
So now let's say Chiasson and Archibald, and who knows, maybe they've got the Mike Smith flu, so they might not be eligible for tomorrow. But let's say they are. Which two wingers do you take out?
I think Granlund can come out. And I think, you know, Kara is doing some good work on the penalty kill, so I think he improved after a really slow start in his first couple of games. I think he improved. Nygaard didn't play a lot for minutes, so you could probably pull him if you needed to as well. So maybe Nygaard and Granlund if you wanted to get both those guys in there, although that's a lefty and a righty, so you kind of, you know, one of those guys would have to play over on the other side if need be. So I would probably guess, I liked Russell as well, but you could pull Russell and Granlund, and that'd be both of your righties, and then you just slide those other two right-wingers in there. That'd probably be a cleaner fit.
Yeah, to me, that's kind of what I do. Like, Patrick Russell is, you know, God love him for everything he does. I think Archibald's a better player and has more potential to finish plays off, and he's a quicker skater. So I would have him in and Chiasson for Granlund right now. I just like Chiasson, add a little bit of you know, size and meat on that line.
Yeah.
Instead of Granlund. And, you know, now if Granlund's your 13th forward, that's a really good problem, because for many years the 13th forward used to be guys like Leonard Petrell, and no offense to those players, but not NHL players.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind on Russell, I believe among forwards, he had more penalty kill time than any other forward in the Oilers lineup last game. 219 is what I've got him at, which was more than even Riley Sheahan had. And if you're Dave Tippett, you're loving the look of your penalty kill right now, and you might not want to mess around with that too much. So I thought Russell did a nice job. It'll be interesting to see if he ends up getting pulled. But it is a good problem to have. You know, that if the guy's sitting out on some other teams would be in the lineup, that means you've got some depth. And the Oilers right now, they've got Gaetan Haas skating well and playing well. You know, Nygaard is not a regular NHLer by any stretch. He's played reasonably well the last few games. So they have some options and some guys coming off of being sick potentially. And it just adds more depth through their bottom six. So it's a good problem to have. And it's still early for a lot of these guys, but for right now, they got some guys playing pretty well.
What do you make of all of the stories and comments out of Calgary and how they're loving Lucic and he's everything they wanted and it was worthy to get rid of James Neal? Wouldn't it be better off to say nothing at this point?
Are you talking about fans or media?
Well, even the team. Like, the team today was talking about it. Like, it just seems like an odd thing.
But, okay, so the team was talking about it. But were they talking about it because the media went in there and asked them questions? So think about this. You're the Calgary Flames. And the media comes in and says, you know, did you see James Neal and his four goals last night? And, you know, what do you guys think? And what are you going to do? You're going to back your guy. You're going to go, oh, you know, that's great, but we're super happy with Milan Lucic. I'm not going to blame the Flames if that was their response to media asking them questions about what James Neal is doing. They got no choice but to back their guy and say, we're really glad to have Lucic here. And, you know, he got into a scrap for us. He's added something we need. All the nice things I'm sure they said about him today. I don't think if a media person walked in there and stuck a mic in Mark Giordano's face and said, what do you think of what James Neal is doing? And, you know, what do you think of this trade? And he was like, no comment. That would speak volumes. So I don't blame the Flames players for whatever they had to say today about Lake and Milan Lucic.
It's, to me, like when I hear the, well, James Neal would have never done that there.
Yeah, I think that was Eric Francis that wrote that, I think, right?
Yeah, and that's the one where I'm like, well, if you're going to tell me that you think Frolik is honestly a better top six forward than James Neal, I'm going to question that.
Well, remember, that media group, night in, night out, watched James Neal struggling and dying on the vine there in Calgary, right? They watched him at his worst, and they watched him game after game not be able to get anything done and really struggle to be effective. They watched him clash with the head coach. They watched it all happen. So it's understandable that they would look at what he's done here in the early going, reference that with the long stretches week after week he went last season where he wasn't playing well, and to be a little bit skeptical about his ability to keep it up. Now, to suggest that there's absolutely no way that he'd be able to do that there, I'm not sure about that. You know, Brad Treliving's other option in all of this, and maybe he tried, might have been to go to Bill Peters and to go to James Neal and say, fellas, you know, whatever it is, sort it out. Because James, we believe in you. That's why we gave you the contract we gave you. Bill, believe in you too, but there's no way out of this. Let's make it work, right? And to just have given it another go. What happened that it was so bad that he needed to pull the trigger and make that trade? Because, you know, and this is hindsight for me, because full disclosure, like when we first started talking about the potential of this trade, I didn't think it would make sense for either sides. So this is not a, I knew it, no one else did. But if you think about it right now, the risk reward that Brad Treliving was facing, I mean, for James Neal to potentially turn back into a 20 goal scorer, you've now taken a guy that was basically an anvil on one of your main competitors' lineup and roster and salary cap, and you've taken him off their hands, while at the same time maybe plugging one of the biggest holes they had. That is a huge risk for Brad Treliving to have taken. It's early here, but if it ends up going this way where Lucic is the same or even marginally better than he was last year, but Neal keeps going in a similar direction, that's a huge mistake.
Well, you look at it, the thing where I find is the Flames organization, there is dysfunction, and you have a GM, when they sign James Neal, they sign him because the year before the Flames had one of the worst offenses in the NHL. They couldn't score. So they signed the guy to be a 20-goal scorer. Now, admittedly from Neal, you know what, 2 years going to the Cup, losing, he didn't get the training he wanted, he wasn't in the best of shape. He admitted that, and that's fair. But if you look at how Bill Peters really from the get-go used him, like, so the owners have played 3 games this year, Shauger, and he's played 12 minutes with McDavid and Draisaitl on the power play. He played 24 minutes all last year with Johnny Gaudreau and 20 minutes with Sean Monahan, their top unit power play guys.
Right?
So
okay.
If people say that that's a legit, you know, like, opportunity, I would argue that right from the get-go, Bill Peters is like, you know what? I'm not giving this guy the opportunity, and boom, away you go, right? Like, sometimes if your GM signs a guy, you got to be on the same page and say, hey, like, we got to give this guy a legit opportunity to be what we think he's going to be.
Right, so I agree with all of that, and the idea that maybe he wasn't given the right opportunity in the early days with Bill Peters and more power play opportunity and all those sorts of things. As a team, I think the Flames had reasonably decent success. So it wasn't just about getting James Neal sorted out. I think as a team, things went fairly well for the Flames. And keep in mind, James Neal was not on the first power play to start the year, right? Alex Chiasson was.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And if Alex Chiasson banged in a goal, guess what? James Neal is not on the top power play unit. So,
no, that's not true because Chiasson got sick.
Well, but what I'm saying is that, you know, it so happens that Neal ended up on the top power play unit. And he did a good job and he's grabbed that opportunity. But we can't look at the Oilers and go, outside, I mean, they had him on one of their top two lines. They had him with McDavid. 5-on-5, he probably got better opportunity than he did in Calgary. In terms of being on the top power play, because I've seen that stat out there today, that's not where Neal started. That's not where the Oilers were starting him. Chiasson was in that spot. Now, chances are Neal would have landed there anyways, but let's keep it in proper reference. It's not like the Oilers anointed him their number one power play guy right from the start like the Flames bloody well should have. That's not the way this went either.
No, that's fair, but I just think it's a case of a coach. The organizations, I believe the coach put Treliving in almost a no-win situation here, basically saying, I don't want this guy, now you got to get rid of him. And so they convinced themselves that, okay, we'll get rid of James Neal and we'll bring in what we're lacking. And, you know, that's toughness.
Well, how do you think Ken Holland or Steve Yzerman or maybe some of these other general managers who have dealt with these really untenable, difficult situations, my sense is that the smart ones, the really good ones, have a tendency to just push pause and go, okay, hang on a second here. Let's not do anything knee-jerk. Let's take a big step back. We're not going to, you know, there's too much risk in the Lucic contract. Let's, you know, work on this relationship between this player and this coach and try and figure out what you can do to, you know, you're only going into the second year. The cap number is the same. Who has a more reasonable chance of bouncing back, Milan Lucic or James Neal? And this is total hindsight, but you wonder if every single thing that could have been done to have smoothed this over and made it better was in fact done or not, and if this had to happen this way. I don't know the answer to that, and I think Brad Treliving is a good general manager, but this is one, the amount of risk he took here in making this trade and the way this looks like it's going, this one could really end up stinging.
Shogger, we'll chat with you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Okay, you too, pal.
Ryan Rashog from TSN.